Okay, I guess I can apologize to some of you who came to hear the kids and didn't know that this was tagged on to the end of it. I apologize, but you have jumped right in the midst of our study of Every Believer a Witness, finding out how can we can be more effective witnesses for Christ. So we are so thankful that you are here. And before we get started, I want to see if everyone has a Session 6 outline. If you did not receive a Session 6 outline, please raise your hand and our ushers will make sure. Also, you received tonight a little witnessing tract entitled, Are You Ready? So you should have got a Session 6 and I think it's blue, Are You Ready witnessing tract. Yes, looks like that. Okay, so raise your hand if you did not get that. All right, just a quick report on Janet's mom. A lot of you have been asking. I appreciate your prayers and your concern. Just about 30 minutes ago, they moved her out of ICU. Folks, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. I mean, she was about as close to being gone as I think you can get. And God has just healed her. So she is in a room now on the fifth floor at Floyd. And hopefully, if things continue, she will be going home soon. So thank you so much for your prayers. My dad is still about the same. Thank you for your prayers for him as well. Okay. All right. So we are tonight, session 6 of Every Believer a Witness. This is a continuation of developing our know-how in how to become a more consistent witness for Jesus Christ. You know, as believers, the Lord has called us to go and tell others about His Son and our Savior. And so we have been learning, hopefully, these last few weeks, ways that we can be more effective in that. As we begin, notice on page 2 at the top of page 2, you can witness with your thanksgiving. You can witness with your thanksgiving. So not only can we witness with our testimony, we can also witness with our thanksgiving. And let me explain to you what that means. Back in the early, when the church was first established, you know, after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the church was established, and the church was made up primarily of Jews at that time. Of course, these Jews were coming out from under the Old Covenant dietary regulations where you could eat some things and you couldn't eat certain things. And so as the church began to grow, there was some confusion. You know, you'd have one Christian look over and see one of his brothers, sisters in Christ eating something that was forbidden under the Old Covenant, and they were confused about that. And says, okay, what's the deal here? What is it that we are supposed to do now under the new covenant as we have accepted Christ? So it began to cause problems in the church. So Paul, in his letter to Timothy, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus, he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, listen to this. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Now, here's the principle. You can eat anything, because he was talking about what we could eat and what we couldn't eat. You can eat anything spiritually that you can give thanks for. Now, I wish I had known this as a kid. We'd sit down to dinner and Mom had fixed a meal. And I wish I had known this and I could have said, Mom, biblically, I cannot eat this liver because I can't give thanks for it. If you can't give thanks for it, you shouldn't eat it. And so that would have been a great way for me not to have to get in all that trouble. You need to eat that liver. That's good for you. It'll strengthen your blood. It'll do this. It'll do that. I could not stand liver. But if I could just know to say, God does not want me to eat this liver because I cannot be thankful for it. Okay? Therefore, since whenever I eat, I'm going to give thanks, I want us to see tonight how we can use our thanksgiving as a witness for Christ. Now notice the first point under you can witness with your thanksgiving. Pray if you are alone. Pray if you are alone. And we're talking about going into a restaurant, okay? You go into a restaurant, you zip into Zaxby's or Chick-fil-A or Subway or wherever it is, and you grab your hamburger, your sandwich, and you go sit down and you say, thank you God for this food, and you start gobbling it down. This is what we need to do as believers. Now, I'm just believing that all Christians pray before they eat, okay? But that's just something I was taught, and I believe it's biblical. And so I hope everyone does that. And if you don't, I pray that you'll begin that. But some people say, okay, we shouldn't do that because we're drawing attention to ourselves. You know, we're making a public spectacle of ourselves when we do that, and we're trying to get people to look at us and say, oh, that must be a super spiritual person. Well, you know, if we look in the New Testament, Jesus has some very strong words of condemnation against the Pharisees for that very thing. Drawing attention to yourself, it says they love to pray on the street corners, you know, and lift up these loud prayers so that others might look at them and say, oh, they're very religious, they're very pious. And Jesus warns against that. But listen, when we go into a restaurant and we sit down, and before we partake of the food, we in all sincerity and all humility, we thank the Lord for the gift of that food. It's amazing how God uses that. And you know, if it's in our mind that somebody may be looking at us and thinking that we're going to be super spiritual for that, you know, we can pray, Lord, I am thankful for this food. I don't want to distract attention or draw attention to myself. And so, Lord, but I also want to thank you for this food. So I just thank you and use it to strengthen me, Lord, and then begin to eat. So I have had people, I don't know about you, but my wife and I in a restaurant, and we'll sit down, and when we ask the blessing, we ask God's blessings on the food, more than one occasion I've had someone come by the table or get up from their table and come over and say, you know what, thank you for doing that. Because it's not done that much anymore. We hardly ever see anyone, even those who claim to be Christians, giving thanks for their food. So it's a testimony. It's an opportunity to bless other people by doing that. So we need to make sure that we do it with the right heart. It's not to draw our attention to ourselves, but we want to sincerely thank God for the food that He has blessed us with. But, you know, they'll come up and say, well, you know, I saw you praying before you ate. And I just want you to know that was a blessing to me. So we're thankful for that. Well, the second point under you can witness with your thanksgiving is ask to pray for your server. Ask to pray for your server. If you're at a restaurant, you have a waiter or a waitress, try this. Say Mary or John or whatever their name is. We always give thanks for our food. Is there anything going on in your life? And then throw out a couple of categories like family or health. Is there anything going on in your life, family or health, that we can pray about for you? Is there anything going on in your life that we can pray about for you? Now, if you make a commitment to do that, I can assure you that I have found that about 20% of the time, they will say, no, everything's good. Or, this is a statement I hear a lot of young people saying now, Wes, you may be familiar with this. They'll say, I'm at a good place right now. First time they said it, I thought, now what does that mean? But then I figured it out. Everything's good. You know, when they say that, I'll say, well, we'll just rejoice with you. I'm thankful that everything's good. But I have found that about 75 to 80% of the time, the waiter or the waitress, and sometimes they'll tear up, and they'll say, yes. You know, I've got a sick child, or my parents, or, you know, one of my parents in the hospital had open heart surgery, or just all kind of things going on. And people will, they're humbled by the fact that you have expressed a desire to pray for them, a specific need that they have. And you know, I have never had, and I've been doing this for quite a while now, I've never had one person, believers, unbelievers, doesn't matter, from another religion, whatever, I've never had one say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. Never happened. It might happen tomorrow, but I have never, ever had one. Whether they had a need, a specific need or not, I've never had one say, no, I don't want your prayers. And so last fall when our mission team went to Denham Springs, I had gone through this training, Every Believer Witness, back in August, I think. And so I believe it was in October when we went, and I'd been practicing it for a while and praying for folks. And so when we were on the way, we stopped at the Cracker Barrel in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And if you're traveling with me on a mission trip, you're going to get about 3 or 4 meals at a Cracker Barrel. I love Cracker Barrel. And so you're going to go to Cracker Barrel a few times on that mission trip, especially if it's, you know, halfway across the country. You're going to spend half your time at Cracker Barrel. But anyway, we went to Cracker Barrel in Tuscaloosa. And there was about 10 of us, I guess, and we were just sitting all together at a table. And a little waitress came up, and she took our order. And I said to her before, I said, you know, we always thank God for our food. Is anything going on in your life? You know, your family? And with a young person, you can throw out school, because a lot of them are in school. You know, family, health, school, that we can pray for for you. And little girl, she was about that high, cutest little thing you ever seen. She had all of those menus in her hands. She threw them down on the table, stuck those hands out to join us in prayer. And she said, yeah. And I thought she said, cool. I thought she said, oh, this is cool. What she said was, school. In other words, pray for me about school. Matter of fact, she had finals coming up. And she said, please pray for me in school. And she said, you know, I really want to do well in school, and I would just really appreciate it. And so we prayed for her. And that little girl went around to just about everybody on that mission tree and gave them a big hug, said, thank you so much for praying for me. That's just such a blessing today. So, you know, it's amazing how God uses that. Janet and I were at Kodak, Tennessee, back in January. At a Cracker Barrel. So we were eating, and so the server came up, the waitress, female, and she was probably in her mid-50s, you know, very young lady. And she said, I asked her, I said, you know, we always give thanks for ask God to bless our food. She says, is there anything we can pray for you about? And she said, well, as a matter of fact, there is. And she said, my husband has just made the commitment to go into ministry full time. Her name was Kim. And Kim said, my husband's going to ministry full time. And said, we have two teenage daughters. And said, it's going to be a big, huge transition for me. I said, I was in the same boat you're in. I accepted the call in ministry later in life. And we had two teenage girls. And it was difficult. And Kim, I want to be praying for you. She had the opportunity to pray for her right there. And she hugged us and told us how thankful she was. Isabel works at El Tambo. Those that have been to Peru remember El Tambo restaurant. It's in Cieneguilla, which is one of the villages or one of the towns that we go through on the way to La Huaytambo. Well, Isabel is one of the waitresses there, and I was there on a trip. I went alone, met Raul, and we were going, and so we were going to La Huaytambo, went in at El Tambo's and ordered that chicken like we always eat there. Afraid to eat anything else, but the chicken's good. And Isabel came, and I, you know, we always give thanks for food, anything going on in your life. And she said, my job. Of course, this was through an interpreter now. She was speaking Spanish, I was speaking English, so it works even through an interpreter. And so she said, yes, pray about my job and also about my family. And then she shared with me that her mom was having some health issues. And this is a girl 3,000 miles away in Cieneguilla, Peru, and God allowed me to pray for her. One of the greatest blessings we had again on that trip to Denham Springs, we went to Charlie's Steak and Seafood. It's in Springfield, Louisiana. Some of the best food you've ever eaten in your life. So we went there, and there was a huge team. It was probably 15, maybe 16 of us, and we were sitting there. And so the waitress came up, and her name was Nicole. So she took our orders. I said the same thing to her, you know. We always give thanks for food, anything that we can pray for you about. And big old tears just welled up in her eyes, started rolling down her cheeks. And she said, I just lost my mom. And she said, with the holidays coming up, she said, would y'all please pray for me and my family as we face the holidays? Said, it's going to be difficult for us. So we had the opportunity right there to pray for Nicole. Now, one thing I do that's always a blessing, when Janet and I go out to eat, and especially if it's a restaurant that we frequent, I will take out, when I ask the waiter or waitress and they tell me something, I'll take out my smartphone and I'll go to the notes and I'll put her name, where she works, and the specific prayer request. And then when we go back to that restaurant, we ask for that same waitress, can we sit at her table? And it's amazing what a blessing it is for them when you say, you know, I've been praying for you. How's your mom doing? And she'll look at you like, oh, I remember you now. And a lot of times they'll just tear up and say, thank you so much. And I can't believe you remembered that. And I say, well, you know, it's my phone. That's the only way I remembered it. But I made it a priority. And so I put those people on my prayer list. So it's amazing how God uses that. And, you know, that's all about building relationships. You know, I'm going to see this waitress or waiter again and again and have the opportunity to share with them. So God just uses that, and it's such a blessing. So, again, we always give thanks for our food, anything going on in your life, family, health, that we can pray about for you. So now this is what you do if you know the other people, know that they're Christian. Now notice the third bullet point on page 2. Ask to pray for the others at your table. Ask to pray for the others at the table. This is, just say that you have a business meeting, a lunch business meeting, and you're out with other folks, and you don't know whether they're Christians or not. You're a salesman, you know, and you meet him for a sales meeting at lunch or something. And you don't know whether other people are Christians or not. So here's what you can do. You can say, I always give thanks for my food. If you'd like, I just pray for all of us. I always give thanks for my food. If you'd like, and by the way I say it, it's like, you know, that's what I'm going to do. If you don't really have a strong objection to it, if you'd like, I'll just pray for all of us. And so you have an opportunity to pray. And, you know, I never, after I do that, I never say, okay, let's discuss church or let's talk about your relationship with the Lord. I don't even mention it, but it's amazing those people that aren't even Christians, and they'll start talking about, well, you know, when I was a child, I remember going to church. I remember hearing about Christ. And so it's amazing. You know, you don't even have to push that. But when you just, when you pray and they see that you're sincere in your prayer. And here's a Dennis Nunn, who wrote Every Believer a Witness. He suggests this simple prayer when you ask permission to pray for others. And this is it. Father or God, thank you for this food. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple prayer, but it's powerful. It's powerful. And look what it communicates. Thank you for this food. I mean, that's why we ask permission. Thank you for loving us. For God so loved the world. For God loves everyone. You're communicating the love of God. And then in Jesus' name. Not being afraid to pray in Jesus' name. We're not being politically correct here, okay? We want people to see Christ. They want to know Him. Now, people may say, well, this is not really witnessing as far as sharing the gospel. And you're right. But it takes advantage of a window of opportunity that you have in a public setting to be a witness for Christ. And I believe if we continue to shy away from that, it proves that we're ashamed of Him. And Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So I think it just gives us great opportunities. And again, not drawing attention to ourselves, but magnifying Christ and hopefully having an opportunity to be a witness. Now, please don't miss what's written on the bottom of page 2. What does it say? Tip well. The worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do is go in there and ask to pray for someone and share with them and, you know, just really touch them. And then you got a $50 tab and you leave a $2 tip. You know, just tell them you're Mormon or something. Don't tell them you're Christian if you're going to do something like that. You know, there's nothing that destroys our witness more. And my wife's better at this than I am. I figure, of course, I've never bussed tables or waited tables. But I figure a 15, 17% tip is a good tip. Janet say, give them 20. Good gracious, Billy, don't be so cheap. So, you know, just give a good tip. And it's a great witness to those that we have the opportunity to witness to. All right, notice on top of page 3. You can witness with your tracts. You can witness with your tracts. Now, when you came in tonight, you were given this tract. Now, this tract is written by Billy Graham. Just put it aside for right now. We're going to talk about it again in a few minutes. But that's a Billy Graham tract entitled, Are You Ready? So a tract is just a small printed publication which presents the gospel. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never really used tracts that much. Because to me, I always saw it as being kind of impersonal. You know, okay, here's a tract. And then I've seen people do that. Oh, there's a tract. Or, you know, and I'm not condemning folks because God uses, when they're out there, God uses them. I understand that. But for me, I just never was that big on using tracts. But there's some benefits to using tracts if you think about it. I would usually share the Roman road, you know, or the faith acrostic, you know, or something like that to share the gospel. You know, I got thinking about those as I was preparing for this. Those came off a tract. That's where they came from. You know, you see the Roman road tracts. Matter of fact, I've got one. There's one out there that you can pick up if you like. So what I did, I just took the information off the tract, memorized it, and I just share it, but it came from a tract. And the good thing about a tract, when you leave a tract, you're leaving something for them to refer to later. And a lot of people, you know, you give it to them, and they'll set it on their coffee table or something, you know, and they'll be sitting there, and they'll pick it up, and they'll read it, and God will use it, and they'll put it back down. And then a couple of days later, they'll pick it up, and they'll read it, and the Holy Spirit begins to work. And so, you know, we it's amazing what God can do with a simple tract. So we're going to talk about tracts a little bit tonight then. Now, the principle for using tracts to share the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, and you see it there in your notes. And it says, to the weak, this is Paul writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Now, we know from Paul's other writings, he knew that he couldn't save anyone, right? That's not what he meant. What he meant was, God can use me in this process of sharing the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to draw and someone come and know Christ as their Savior. So he knew he couldn't save anyone, but he knew that he was willing to do whatever in order to be able to influence people to come and know Christ as their Savior. Dennis Nunn gives us two approaches to witnessing with tracts. The first one he calls the shotgun approach. Anybody ever seen one of these? Shotgun shell. This is a 12-gauge Winchester, number 6 shot. Anybody got any clue what I just said? Yeah, a lot of you do. Okay. But that's what you shoot out of a shotgun. Now, whether it's a single barrel, double barrel, a semi-automatic, pump, whatever it might be, that's a shotgun shell. And you know, a shotgun shell, this is filled with a lot of little pellets. All right. So the shotgun approach is when you shoot it and it can hit different targets. All right. You can be shooting at one, it'll hit this one. When I was a kid, Dad was a big quail hunter. Now, there were a lot of quail here in Northwest Georgia at that time. A lot of people that lived out in the country, they had bird dogs, and Dad trained bird dogs, and he had some of the best bird dogs in the country. And so he worked second shift at Lindale at the textile mill. So he hunted every morning during the week. And then on Saturday, and when he was hunting during the week, he was training his dogs. And I don't know if you ever saw a good bird dog work or not, but that's just a beautiful thing to watch. And but anyway, he would train those dogs. And of course, we had one dog that was this won't mean anything to some of you, but we had one that was a covey dog and one was a single dog. Covey's when the birds are all together. Single's when you got them scattered out, okay? So we had one dog that specialized in finding the coveys and one that specialized in finding the singles after you got them scattered. But anyway, when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I got a BB gun for Christmas. And so Dad would, before I got the BB gun, I'd tow the stick. You know, I'd go with Dad bird hunting. And I couldn't have a gun, so I had a stick. So I just, I was going along. But Dad was showing me all along. He was showing me how to approach the dog when they were pointed and things you should do and things you shouldn't do. And so then I graduated to a BB gun. Of course, you know what a BB gun is. Just a little single BB pellet, and it shoots at very low velocity. Most time you can shoot as close near that front row, and it wouldn't even hurt you if it hit you. But anyway, in my mind, I was learning how to be a bird hunter. So I'd take my little BB gun, and the dog would be pointed. Dad would be on that side. And he said, "All right, Bill, let's walk in." And so I'd walk in with him. And, of course, the birds would flush, and he'd shoot with his shotgun and kill them. I'd shoot with my BB gun. Of course, I never hit anything. If I did, it wouldn't hurt him anyway. But anyway, I was learning how to be a hunter. Well, when I was 12 years old, I got a 410-gauge single-barrel shotgun for Christmas. Oh, me. I was in high cotton then. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world because I actually had something that would kill a quail. And I remember going, and when a covey of quail gets up, how many's ever experienced that, walking into a covey of quail? Okay, I'm not just talking to myself. All right, good. So when the dog's pulling in, the quail are just huddling. You can't see them. They just blend in with their environment and everything, but they're there because that dog just locked down, They got them pointed. And so you walk in, and you don't know when they're going to flush, and it will scare you to death. That's almost as bad as Janet's sneeze. You walk in, and boy, those birds come up, and they're just right there in front of you. Now, when they first come up, they're in a wad. They're close. They come up as a covey, and they fly as a covey, and then they spread out. But when they first come up, if you can shoot when they first come off the ground, you might be shooting this bird and hit this bird because they're that close. Or you might be shooting this bird and hit both birds. But that's a shotgun approach. There's a lot of lead flying out of there. Of course, the 410 shoots a very tight pattern. The 16-gauge gets a little wider. Of course, it has to do with your choke, too. Full of modified. I know y'all could care less about this. But, anyway, the bigger the gun and the broader the choke, the more it spreads out. So you just spread those pellets everywhere. But anyway, that's the shotgun approach. The shotgun approach to witnessing with a tract is taking that tract and not just targeting one person, but seeing that it can hit a lot of people. Okay, let's take that tract. Let's take this one. This is one entitled A Prayer for America. Okay, and there's some out there on the table, and I'm going to go over all of them that are out there. But you take that tract, and that's a picture of the flag, of course. And you go up to someone and you say, "Do you love America? Do you love America? You do? Did you get one of those? Thank you." And that's what people will say most of the time. You walk up, did you get one of those? And they'll take it out of your hand. Most of them will say, thank you. And it's just, I mean, it is not intimidating. Did you feel intimidated? No, sure you did. But now it takes a different kind of personality to do that. You know, a lot of people can't just go out in public and say, do you love America? You know, and hold that track up. But it's amazing how many people take it. And that's got the gospel in it. That, do y'all remember the, you give it back. I'll give it back to you. Okay, in just a second. Pastor Joe Wright, who was before the State House in Topeka, Kansas, and they asked him to pray. And you remember reading about that prayer and what he was talking about, how we have, you know, we've ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism. We've worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. You know, and he just really lays it all out there. But then also that tract shares the gospel. So it's amazing, and that picture on the front is very appealing. So it's amazing the people that will just take that when you offer it to them. But using your personal tract. Now, of course, my personal tract, because I use the Roman road a lot, is the Roman road tract. And there for a long time, I forgot there was a tract, and then I found some more. But it's amazing. This tract, it gives you, if you can see this, it gives you a road here, and the road is leading to God. And then it's got all the passages in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, for God commended his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. And Romans 12:1-2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the Roman road. But it's amazing. You know, you can share that. You don't have to go through all that. But if you've got 20 minutes to share with someone, sit down with them and share that track. And a lot of time, you know, we're talking about giving our own personal story, and most time we don't have that much time. You can leave it with them, but sometimes you just have an opportunity to sit down and share with someone. But that's definitely my favorite track there. All right. Let's look now at, we talked about shotgun, the rifle approach. This is a Springfield .30-06. That's what I deer hunt with, okay? Now, the thing about the rifle approach is you've got one target. And when you shoot it, you're going towards that one target and not multiple targets. So with the rifle approach, you have one person that you are seeking to reach for Christ, and you're going to use a tract. Now, this is called Steps to Peace with God, and this is the one that Dennis Nunn recommends. He's used it for years. This tract is getting hard to find. I don't know why, but I tried for weeks. I finally got one little set of 25, so I don't have many of those. But what it does, he says, you know, and he'll go up and he'll ask someone, he says, do you know Billy Graham? Of course, just about everyone knows Billy Graham, don't they? You'll run into some people today that have never heard of Billy Graham. If they do, say, well, he's just a great preacher. But you say, you know, I love this tract because when Billy Graham wrote it, he put the scripture right in it. And he says, actually, on the back of it, it tells you how you can come and know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So that's the tract, Steps to Peace with God. Now, the one that you got, this is also written by Billy Graham. It's entitled, Are You Ready? What do you think that's about? Second coming of Christ, okay, all right, the end times. Are people interested in that today? They are. You hear a lot of talk about that today, don't you? You know, it's amazing. You go up and you say, do you know Billy Graham? You ever heard of Billy Graham? Well, yeah. Well, he wrote this marvelous little track. It's entitled, Are You Ready? And so you got it up there letting them see it while you're talking about it. And, you know, he put all the scripture in here. And it tells about how we can be ready for the return of Christ. And I believe it's coming soon. But I just want you to have this. And this is what you can say to people when you hand them a track. You say, you know, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to appear pushy. And, you know, I would like for you to have this. But I won't be upset at all if you don't. But I'd really like for you to have it. And most people will take that. Okay? But again, it just puts the gospel in someone's hand so that they can see what it is to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that's the rifle approach. Now, as I said earlier, I don't normally use tracts, but again, you're leaving something in their hand. They can lay it down. They can pick it up. They can read it. They can lay it down. The Holy Spirit can use that. Or if it's a server at a restaurant, it could be the first time that they've ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and you might have the opportunity to share a little bit with that. So it's just different ways that we can continually be sharing the gospel. And you know, for those who don't have the gift of gab, And everyone doesn't. I understand that. A lot of people are quiet. You can actually take a tract like this, and you can sit down and read that word for word, and God can use that through His Holy Spirit to lead someone to Christ. So everyone can do it. Okay, so I'm just too shy to do that. No, you just commit to it and see how God can use that. Again, you know, that's not presenting the gospel, but again, it's giving different ways that we can get the gospel in the hands of people and impact them with the gospel. It's not really witnessing, but you know, Paul said, "And all, I want to be all things to all men so that by all possible means some may be saved." Now, here's some more tracts I've got out there. And again, out on the welcome desk, there's a lot of these tracts out there. This one is called "Do All Roads Lead to God?" That's a great tract put out by crossway.org. Here's one entitled, and this is by Erwin Lutzer. Some of you heard of Erwin Lutzer. This one is 1 minute after you die. That'll get your attention, won't it? What's going on 1 minute after you die? This one is entitled, "I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life," the words of Christ. And then this one, "Do Good People Go to Heaven?" That's a common question asked today, isn't it? And so all of these, just they give the gospel plain and clear. And notice on the back of them, I have put the Pleasant Valley South address. And it says on the bottom, "If you pray to receive Christ, please share your decision with us, given our phone number here at the church." Dennis Nunn said that when he was pastoring a church in Snellville, Georgia, he said one day his secretary came to him and she said, "Look at this." And he opened it up and it was a tract that had the address of the church and everything on the back of it. And there was a letter in there. It came from, he gave the name of the city, but it was in upstate Michigan. He's in Snellville, Georgia. And it said, "I received your tract. I pray to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, and can you send me more information about what it means to be a follower of Christ?" And he said, how it got from Snellville, Georgia to upstate Michigan, I will never know, but it's amazing how God can use. Somebody took that, and they might have been on a vacation or whatever, and it might have been passed along three or four different times, but it got to the person that God had it destined for, and that person came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. So it's amazing. It's amazing what God can do when we're just willing. So don't be opposed to using tracts, because God does use them. But I just love to be able to just sit down and just share with people from my heart. But you can do that using a tract as well if you're not as outgoing, okay? All right. Turn to page 4. Based on what you've just seen in God's Word, what should you do today? Remember, James says it's not just about hearing the Word, it's about what? About doing. So what are we going to do in response to what we have learned tonight? Number one, I will pray at every meal this week, by myself, or for my server, or for others at the table. I will pray at every meal this week, by myself or for my server or for others at the table. If you're willing, if you will make that commitment, sign your name and date it today, March the 19th, 2017. Number two, I will give at least one tract away this week. And you can't say I don't have a tract, because there's about 400 of them out there on that table. You just go out and all of these are out there. You go pick out one or two or how many you want and pick those up and share it with someone this week. And, you know, you can say, you know, we got this guy at church, and he's been teaching us how to do this, and he said we ought to give away a tract, and here's one of the tracts he gave me. Would you take this tract? I mean, you can do that if you want to. I hope it's a little more personal than that, but at least you're getting the tracts out there, right, and wanting to share Christ, okay? All right, so I'll give at least one tract away this week. Sign it and date it. And then number three, I will share my personal testimony with at least one person this week. Now, if you have lived up to the commitments that you've made these last few weeks, you've shared now about 5 or 6 times you've shared your personal testimony. And hopefully it's getting, you know, you're getting it where it's more concise, where you can share it clearly and in about 4 to 5 minutes, and God's using that testimony. Of course, right in the middle of your testimony, don't forget, what do we have in the middle of the testimony? The gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You don't have to quote that, but you got to have that Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again. That's the gospel. Your testimony, again, will not save anyone, but your testimony wrapped around the gospel, God can use to lead people to Him. And that's what we want, right? Thank you so much. I pray that this has been a blessing. Look at it, this. It says, Evangelism Today magazine reported that 56.6% of people surveyed reported that a personal witness from someone was a contributing factor in their conversion. 56%. May we use this knowledge and these evangelism tools to become all things to all people, that by all means some may be saved. Let's pray together.